16 minutes until the end of breakfast. So stick around after breakfast, of course, because after 9 o'clock, the Daily takes over. But right now, a very, very simple question for you. Is humanity designing its own demise? Now, it shouldn't be possible to pack so much into just 6 words, but there it is. A ridiculously important question, and one that I have been saying for a long time, we desperately need to answer. Now, essentially, it's a question that asks, do we fear what the future brings, or do we anticipate the unknown with a good dose of optimism? It's also the topic of what's bound to be a wide-ranging debate happening at the Sydney Town Hall tomorrow night as part of the IQ2 series from the Ethics Centre. Sydney Dean is a science and health journalist, broadcaster, currently deputy editor at Science Alert. She's one of the team arguing for the case against the premise tomorrow night. And Sydney, you have a fairly positive view of the future. Cautiously positive, shall we say?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. It's interesting you mentioned the fact that, you know, what we're actually debating there is how do we look at the future? And the basic thing is that you can't actually predict the future. You just can't. I mean, we have all these ideas about how the future might pan out, and we have a lot of fears about it, especially because the humanity's progress over the last 150 years has been so extremely rapid. It's unprecedented. So we don't know what's going to happen next, and there's a lot of fears that we have that are quite legitimate, such as what are we going to do with climate change, for example.
Now, I thought what was interesting is you're on with Toby Walsh, an artificial intelligence expert, and AI is such a divisive topic when it comes to looking towards the future. And I know for a fact that there are plenty of people out there who firmly believe that that is where we are coding our own demise, that artificial intelligence will rise up and immediately destroy humanity. You're not in that camp, are you?
Not really, no. There's a layperson's view of AI, which is what we hear in the headlines. And I will be talking a lot about headlines and how we perceive the world versus how the world actually is, and about the good things that are happening in the world that we don't hear in the news. And I think the layperson's view of the AI threat is one of those things that we see in the headlines, like this Google AI has managed to invent its new language. Everyone be scared. Whereas I guess when you're an actual AI researcher, I can't really speak for Toby and his view too much about this, but I think there's a lot of people working in the field in a very constructive manner, trying to anticipate the problems that might arise from when we get to the next step of advancing AI and technology and robots. And they're trying to anticipate what those threats are going to be and then how can we solve them before they hit. I think that's why there's good cause to be optimistic, I suppose, which is a kind of, it's a problematic term, right? You think, oh, I'm just optimistic. And it's like, you're naive. Climate change is going to kill us all. You know, that's kind of, I think the debate tomorrow is going to be much more nuanced than that and quite a lot more interesting than just, oh, you're wrong. No, like climate change is bad or robots are going to kill us all.
No, I'm sure it will be far more nuanced than that. I just find it interesting because we look at the rate of technology and you've got a weird mix of we create problems for ourselves with, you know, the way we advance at times. And as you pointed out, the past 150 years has certainly been, well, difficult on the planet. But at the same time, we come up with amazing technologies that fix many, many of those problems.
That's exactly right. And I think there's a good cause to argue that. And it's actually something that Clive Hamilton, who is on my opposite team, has written in his book, which came out earlier this year.
Defiant Earth,
where he talks about how we've entered the Anthropocene and how all of our thinking about the Earth and humans on Earth and what that means for us and how we have affected this Earth system, as he defines it, is unprecedented and we don't know what to do and we have to radically change our thinking. And also that science and technology are going to be instrumental in helping us overcome these problems. That does not mean geoengineering, which is something that's always very much criticized because there's these crazy schemes where if we just inject sulfur into the atmosphere,
Should be fine. What could go wrong?
and there's a lot of debate over that as well. So one thing that people can remember that does give us hope is that we have more scientists than ever before on the planet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those scientists are working really hard on figuring out how to solve the problems that we have. Some of those we have created, but that does not mean that we're designing our ultimate demise.
Do we exist in a political climate where scientists are as respected as they should be, though? Are people listening to them in the right way? Because quite often it feels like no.
It feels like no. I think you'll find that when we look at the actual efforts that are being put into just science and solving problems, that even if the political climate is sometimes not entirely conducive to that, we do see shifts. And I mean, parties come and go and mm-hmm. research programs continue. So it's kind of like, yes, it can be tricky, but I think when, you know, earlier this year and last year, we've heard about the war on science, etc. And some people say it's a bit exaggerated. And actually, having such public view that science is important and, like, you know, people going to marches and rallies and saying, okay, we do need to care about science, just means that science is visible. Like, we do care about it. And when people care about it, then politicians care about it. It's like that reverse thing. It's not like leaders are telling us what to do. When we care about something, then the leaders start caring about it as well. So we should all be advocating for science, I suppose.
We
that
absolutely
will help.
Should be. I really hope we should be. Look, the other one that gets me too is that debates like this, are we thinking enough wide-rangingly about the future? I mean, it feels like sometimes we look at specific issues and we think, well, what's going to happen with that? I feel like sometimes, as you pointed out, we can't predict the future. So do we need to be thinking in a much wider way when it comes to that unknowable?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a very, very good point you raise. And it's definitely when we... It's hard. It's hard to envision the whole future. It's hard to think, you know, even when it comes to your own future, it might be very difficult to imagine, where am I going to be in 10, 20, 30 years? What am I going to be doing? And when you put that to the whole planet and humanity as a whole, as a species, as a society, as a global force, of course, it's incredibly difficult to say what is going to happen with us. So what we do, we look at our past, we look at our present, and we try to extrapolate from that, I suppose. That's one way how we try to grapple with the future. And what I'm ultimately arguing for, even though I'm against the motion, I'm arguing for the fact that when we look at the past and present, we're actually in a very good spot.
Well, it is all happening tomorrow night as part of the IQ2 series of debates at the via the Ethics Centre at the Sydney Town Hall. Sydney Dean, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.